Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live for Fan for Racing with Catch Fence NASCAR Weekend Preview, and this is Chase Race Week 7. And there is a lot to talk about on tonight's show. And joining me to kind of help me work through our weekend preview this tonight is none other than Kyle Pokrovsky. Welcome to the show, Kyle.
Hey, Sharon. Thanks for having me again.
Well, it's always a pleasure, and I think we'll have some really good discussion tonight. One of the favorite tracks on NASCAR's circuit is coming up this weekend, Martinsville Speedway. Also joining us to kind of talk through our NASCAR weekend preview is Fan for Racing writer Brian Eberle. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hey, Sharon and Kyle. How you guys doing?
We're doing really well. I was just telling Kyle, you know, this is one of the favorite tracks on NASCAR's circuit, Martinsville Speedway, and we're going back there this weekend with the Camping World Truck Series as well as the Sprint Cup Series. This is race number 7 of the Chase, and there should be a whole lot of action going on the track this weekend, wouldn't you? I'm guessing. Anybody disagree with that?
Yeah, I think we'll see a great truck race as always. I mean, I absolutely love that series. And then, you know, I think anything can happen in the Cup race. You got, you know, several drivers that are capable of winning that are no longer in the chase that could steal a win. And, you know, there's the question on everyone's mind as to whether we'll see any payback for some of the on-track issues over the last couple weeks. I'm not sure we will or not, but, you know, there's always that chance, and I think that adds a little bit extra element of excitement to the weekend as well.
Kyle, your thoughts?
Yeah, we're heading into, as you mentioned, this is perhaps one of the best weekends of NASCAR racing all year. Martinsville Speedway is, you know, quintessential NASCAR. It's one of the oldest tracks on the circuit, and it's a great celebration and reflection on the heritage of the sport. Beating and banging on this track, it's really everything you can ask for at a NASCAR track, and I'm sure 43 drivers in the Cup side and 32 drivers in the trucks are going to put on one hell of a show this weekend.
I would say that that's probably true. Now, at some point tonight, we also expect to hear from Chris Knight from Catch Fence. He's at the track or en route to the track. I'm assuming he's at the track, getting ready for all of the activities this weekend. And he'll be calling in tonight with some of the latest news. Now, what I want to do, because as you, both of you have kind of pointed out, there's a lot for us to talk about here tonight. I want to kind of, the Xfinity Series is off this weekend, so we will not see the Xfinity Series on the track this weekend, but they are coming back. I know it's been 2 weeks in a row that we have not seen the Xfinity Series. They've gotten a really long overdue break here in things, but they will be back on track next weekend at Texas Motor Speedway. Saturday, the November 7th, they will be racing 200 laps, 300 miles, for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Challenge, and that coverage will be on NBC at 3 p.m. Eastern Time with a green flag sometime around 3:30. I want to kind of come at that series from a little bit different perspective, because we've been talking about Chris Buescher. It's more or less his championship to lose at this point. He's a Roush Fenway Racing driver. Roush Fenway, if Chris Buescher does end up winning the championship over these next three races, that will be their fifth Xfinity Series title. They've won the title with drivers like Greg Biffle, Carl Edwards, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and then Chris Buescher would be the next in line if he does that this season. It seems like Jack Roush has a bit of a talent for recognizing talent in the Xfinity and bringing them up through the Xfinity series. And I wanted to get your thoughts about some of these other guys that have won titles with Roush Fenway, Greg Biffle, Carr Edwards, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and potentially Chris Buescher. Kyle, let's start with you and get your thoughts about that as we head into these last three races in the Xfinity series.
Yeah, not only has Jack Roush had a knack for finding talented drivers and, you know, developing them all the way from even, you know, outside of the National Series to the lower truck division and on up to the Sprint Cup level, but he's also had a tradition of committing to these talents. As we all know, Greg Biffle has now been a Roush Fenway driver in the Sprint Cup Series for well over a decade now. Carl Edwards was with the team for 10 years, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr., I believe, will be turning to the team next year. That'll be his fourth year. He's got a great farm system, I'll say that. He has connections down at the all the way down to the ARCA Racing Series with Lear Motorsports and Cunningham Motorsports. And he even has a development driver in the name of Kyle Benjamin in NASCAR K&M Pro Series East. He's definitely got a knack for spotting talent, and I've been singing the praises of both Benjamin and Weatherman, and Kyle Weatherman, who's is racing in the ARCA Racing Series and will be making his truck debut at Homestead later this year. I've been singing their praises all year because I think those two are going to be two drivers to keep an eye on for the future. So, yeah, it's been going on for a decade, but Jack Roush has a knack for farming talent.
Okay. Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kyle made an excellent point about, you know, the young guys that he already has kind of within his system at even the ARCA and the K&M levels and, you know, has had a lot of success at the Xfinity Series level. I think people are kind of baffled by the fact that they just can't seem to get things going once these drivers get up to the Cup level. You know, I really thought that Stenhouse Jr. would have been producing much more at this point in time, and I'm not sure if it's just, you know, his ability or more the fact that I think RFR is just kind of lagging behind some of these big teams. And it's, still kind of baffling to me that we haven't seen them, you know, be better at the Cup level over these past few years, especially with the talent that they have in their pipeline coming up.
Yeah, you guys both make some really good points. He does have a knack for eyeing strong talent and bringing them into the series. And Kyle, you make the point that he's very loyal to those drivers. I like the point that you make too, Brian, in that it is baffling that they are so strong in the Xfinity series right now, and yet they can't seem to get things going right now in the Sprint Cup series. They're a little behind the curve there, but it does kind of go in waves, I think. And once they get that figured out, I think we're going to be seeing bigger things from them in the Sprint Cup series. And I think Greg Biffle might be on the verge of some things there. We'll have to kind of wait and see how the rest of this season plays out. But they certainly have an opportunity to take advantage of not being in the chase and learning some things at the end of the season here that could carry them into a strong season next year. But getting back to the Xfinity series, Chris Buescher, I think, is a really strong protege of Roush Fenway Racing, and time's going to tell whether or not he's going to stay in the Xfinity Series for another year or if he might advance to the Sprint Cup Series next season. You guys think that might be a possibility? Kyle, go ahead.
Personally, I do see Chris Buescher making the jump to the Sprint Cup Series next year. You know, something I've noticed, I think we've all noticed with Roush, is that he's not afraid to, you know, field cars without sponsorship. Now, Chris Buescher and Darrell Walsh Jr., for that matter, they've both been, you know, picking up race-to-race sponsorship deals. And if Jack can find something and put something together for Chris, I could see him opening up a fourth team next year. You know, earlier in the year when Chris was making substitute starts for Front Row Motorsports, he was actually outrunning the Roush Fenway Racing trio. And, as we all saw with that, and as we're seeing in the Xfinity Series this year, there's a wealth of talent in Buescher. And Jack said before that he thinks he's ready for the Sprint Cup Series. And, you know, when he makes a statement like that, I think he's just about ready to go.
Okay, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely ready. And I think, you know, it will come down to an issue of, you know, is the sponsorship going to be there? I also don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with him spending another season in the Xfinity Series, even if he, you know, does end up taking the title this year. You know, sometimes we've seen, you know, the one I always use is, you know, Joey Logano was kind of rushed so much to the Cup Series. It kind of took a little while for him to find success, and now he's been so dominant this season, and he's still only 25 years old. I mean, you can look at it either way. You know, you come up and you struggle at the Cup level for several years. You know, maybe you stay down at the Xfinity level another year and kind of build up your talent there. I mean, I definitely do think he's ready. I mean, he's tested Cup cars for Roush. He said last week, you know, from California to Charlotte, all over the country. And obviously he's got the experience with Front Row and shows that, you know, in even lesser equipment, he's outrunning the Roush car. So I definitely think he's ready. I think it just comes down to an issue of whether or not there's going to be the sponsorship there and if they make that move to bring him up next year or not.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I think that Chris Buescher is certainly a talented driver, and he could make that jump to the Sprint Cup Series without a lot of really high expectations for him. But here's where I think the concern is, and Brian, you kind of alluded to this. If they don't have the sponsorship, or if Roush Fenway Racing has not yet turned that ship in the Sprint Cup Series, it might be a mistake to bring Chris Buescher up to that series if they're still flailing a little bit going into that 2016 season. I would almost rather see them keep him in the Xfinity Series another year, go after a second championship versus moving him up within an organization that might not be able to give him what he needs to be a strong contender in that series. And like I say, first season out, you don't really expect a lot anyway, but still, I just from a confidence level and everything else, I think that might be part of what might have happened with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I think he might have been pushed up maybe a little bit too soon within an organization that maybe wasn't ready to be pushing their talent up there at this point. But I can understand why it happened. I just don't want to see him make the same mistake with Chris Buescher, and that's just the way I think of it. So any comments on that from either of you?
Yeah,
Kyle, you
want to
go?
Sometimes it's really just a crapshoot. I mean, we saw Martin Truex Jr. win NASCAR Xfinity Series title in 2004 and 2005. Then he moved up to Dale Earnhardt Incorporated, and he really, you know, wasn't able to replicate his success in Xfinity at the Sprint Cup level. And, you know, at the time, it kind of looked like he'd be one of the biggest busts in terms of, you know, from hero and Xfinity to, you know, for lack of a better term, a zero at Sprint Cup. But here we are a decade later, and Truex is, you know, fighting for a title with a smaller team compared to the powerhouses that are located in Charlotte. So maybe really it might just take a little while for him to develop into something big. Because we know Ricky Stenhouse Jr. certainly is talented. He is a two-time Xfinity Series champion like Truex Jr. It just might take a little time, and it might need to wait for Roush's turnaround, which I think may be sooner rather than later because, as we all know, NASCAR's the Sprint Cup Series is going to be going to the low downforce back in 2016, and I've certainly liked what I've seen out of the Roush Fenway organization at Kentucky and Darlington. Plus, if we all remember last year, the team wasn't that strong in the Xfinity Series. Their only win came with Chris Buescher in Mid-Ohio. And flash forwards 1 year later, here they are, and they're on the cusp of winning, you know, their fifth Drivers' Championship.
Okay, Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Kyle makes an excellent point. I think hits the nail on the head there when he says that the low downforce package could be kind of the saving grace, so to speak, for Roush Fenway next year. I think it's going to kind of open it back up to a little bit of a, for lack of a better word, crapshoot between the teams to see who kind of figures it out first and quickest and, you know, puts the best deal together. And, you know, to Kyle's point, the RFR cars did do well at those two tracks in which they ran it this year. So ultimately, I think what I would like to see is, yeah, Buescher spend another year at the Xfinity Series level, continue his success there, and then see how RFR does at the Cup level next year, and go from there. But I guess we'll find out here in the coming months what gets announced.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea, Brian, and I agree with you. I think Kyle hit the nail on the head with the low downforce package. Even if they give Buescher a chance to run, say, you know, a few Sprint Cup Series races, the ones that are kind of together, maybe they could run those with Chris Buescher next season. I know there's a limit to how many they can do. I think it might be 7, so that he can still contend for Rookie of the Year the following year. But, yeah, I think as much as I would like to see it, I just think the timing might not be there. But with the low downforce package, maybe that will work in their favor. And like both of you said, we'll have to wait and see what happens. Now, what I want to also point out is this weekend, because the Xfinity Series is not racing, Ryan Reed from Roush Fenway Racing is going to be live tweeting the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race at Martinsville this weekend from the @NASCAR_Xfinity Twitter account. So this weekend, make sure you're following @NASCAR_Xfinity Series because that will be Ryan Reed at the helm, and he'll be talking about that race. And that race is scheduled for Sunday, November the 1st, and will be on NBCSN at 1:15. Let me go back here and take a look here. At 1 p.m. it should be, like we said, on NBCSN. 12:30 is when the coverage begins on NBCSN. The flag, green flag start should happen around 1:15. They are racing 500 laps for 263 miles. So that's the Goodies Headache Relief 500. Make sure you follow NASCAR_Xfinity Series so that you can hear Ryan Reed's perspective throughout the race. Now, let's talk about and get into the Camping World Truck Series race at Martinsville. The Kroger 200 will be on Fox Sports 1 starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, with a green flag around 1:30. They are racing 250 laps, 131.5 miles. That should be a pretty exciting race in that Xfinity Series. And there's some interesting drivers that's going to be racing there this weekend. Let's start with the Eldora runner-up, the guy who finished in second place, Bobby Pierce. He's making his second NASCAR Camping World Truck Series start this weekend for MB Motorsports. Also, Ray Black Jr. will be running a special Halloween paint scheme in the number 07 Chevrolet on Saturday. So that's two of the drivers that we'll see on the track. But there's a couple of other guys that are racing this weekend. Do you guys want to take that? Let's start with you, Kyle.
Yeah, you know, with this being a short track, we're going to have several drivers who are still under 18 years old at the track this weekend. We're going to have Cole Custer piloting the Junior Motorsports 00 entry. We're going to have actually John Hunter Nemechek. I forgot he turned 18 in June. We're going to have Dalton Sargent. We're going to have Austin Cindric, who will be making his debut for Brad Keselowski Racing, subbing for Austin Terrio. And we're also going to have drivers like Greg Golding and J.J. Haley in the field.
Okay. Any others that you want to point out, Brian?
Yeah, well, just, again, to talk about Bobby Pierce, I guess a couple of points. But, yeah, number one, he's getting another great opportunity. It will be his first truck start on the asphalt, so it'll be interesting to see how he goes there. And I actually am doing a phone interview with him tomorrow afternoon for Motor Racing Digest, so we'll get a chance to get his thoughts a little bit more as he moves into the Martinsville weekend and kind of what's going on with him. So people can look for that up probably later tomorrow night there. But to your point about the younger drivers, yeah, we've got a great field of young talent. And then, again, for, you know, people that despise the Cup guys running down at this level, unless I missed on the entry list, there's really no big-name Cup drivers you know, in this field. I mean, I think David Gilliland is running, but I think he's about the only Cup guy, I think, that's running this race this weekend. So you're going to have a lot of young talent. You're not going to have a race dominated by a Kyle Busch or a Brad Keselowski. And I think we're set up to see a great battle between all the Truck Series regulars and a lot of young talent, a lot of guys, you know, kind of making their first starts. Austin Cindric is kind of the one guy I'll be kind of keeping an eye on to see how he does in a truck. I had a chance to cover him when he raced the ARCA race out of Iowa. So kind of looking forward to see what he does. And Cole Custer is another guy definitely to keep an eye on at Martinsville from some of the young guys that will be out there this weekend.
Okay, and I want to put out some of the one of the female drivers that's going to be racing this weekend. Paige Decker is going to be racing this weekend in the number 74. So definitely keep an eye on what she does this weekend. And did you guys mention Ross Kenseth? He's racing with Hattori Racing this weekend. So definitely keep an eye on Ross Kenseth, the son of Matt Kenseth, is going to be in this race. Daniel Suarez is racing this weekend in the trucks. Again, it's an off weekend for the Xfinity Series, so it's a great opportunity for him to get behind the wheel. Austin Hill is back behind the wheel this weekend in the number 182, so he'll be another driver to keep an eye on. Hold on, there was somebody else I want to make sure we... our guest later on tonight, Timothy Peters. This is his home track. So, and there's a lot of people on his team that are from the Virginia area as well. So we can talk to him a little bit about that later. But Timothy Peters, he's coming off a great win at Talladega Super Speedway, back-to-back wins at that track. Now he's coming to his home track. He's had a string of top five finishes going on. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what Timothy Peters does at his home track this weekend. Okay. Any other drivers you want to point out that we may have missed?
No, I mean, I think the only disappointment is that with 37 trucks currently, it looks like on the prelim entry list, that five of them are going to have to go home, unfortunately. But we haven't seen that too much in the Truck Series this year. There's been, you know, not as many in the field and some short field in some cases. So, I mean, I guess that's a good thing, but also a bad thing in the fact that, you know, five teams won't get to take the green flag on Saturday.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, fans will definitely want to watch the qualifying that's going to be taking place this weekend because they will not all be in the race when all is said and done. So definitely fans will don't forget to tune in for the qualifying in the Camping World Truck Series. It will be interesting. Now, Brandon Jones, let's talk about that for just a minute because the NASCAR gave them a penalty from the race last weekend. They finished second last weekend. GMS Racing came out with a statement saying that they're going to appeal that penalty. I wanted to see if either one of you had any comments with regard to that. And again, Kyle, since Thursday is your night, we're going to start with you.
Yeah, T4 penalty is quite a severe penalty. Crew Chief Shane Huffman, he was fined $10,000, and he will be suspended for the next three races, which would be Martinsville, Texas, Phoenix, which means he will return to Homestead, Miami. But I believe if he is to appeal the penalty, then he should be on the pit box this weekend until NASCAR, or I forgot what the name of their appeal, the third-party appeal group is, but until they render a decision, then he would be able to serve on the pit box. Other than that,
I think it's just the Motorsports Appeal Board.
Yeah, it's something like that. I didn't commit to memory. Really should have, but I don't have a copy of the NASCAR rule book, unfortunately, so I was trying to figure out I read the press release. I was trying to figure out what, 20.4.A- when it first comes on, hopefully he can fill in the details for us.
Okay. Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of in the same boat as Kyle. I saw it come across. I saw that they were going to be appealing the penalty, and I also didn't take the chance to go back and look up in the rule book where exactly those penalties fell, and I haven't heard exactly what GMS is kind of contesting about the penalty either. So I guess, like we said, they're appealing it, so I think Hoffman will be at the track and on top of the pit box this weekend, and we'll kind of see what comes out when the appeal's heard. But, yeah, fairly stiff penalty for a crew chief to be gone for three races, especially at this time of the year. So it'll be interesting to see what gets handed down, and maybe I'll do a little research before Monday, and I'll look it up in the rule book and let everyone know.
Well, and Chris can maybe shed some light on that for us as well. I applaud GMS Racing for standing up and making the appeal. They are winding down the season, so I'm sure NASCAR is going to expedite that appeal as quickly as they possibly can. See if they can't get an answer to address that, rather quickly. So just wanted to bring attention to that, to the fact that it is happening. So something, again, for fans to kind of keep their eyes on over this weekend. Let's kind of talk about, we talked a little bit about Suarez is going to be back behind the wheel for KBM. KBM also, Kyle Busch Motorsports, made an announcement today for their 2016 season, announcing four drivers on their team for this 2016 season. They're going to be fielding three cars. One car will be shared by Cody Coughlin and Daniel Suarez, as well as, I think, Kyle Busch maybe on occasion. I'm not sure about that. But the two full-time drivers are going to be William Byron coming up from the Can-Am East Series. He's the champion this season in that series. And Christopher Bell, we've seen him do quite well this season as a part-time driver here and there. He's going to be racing full-time now with KBM Motorsports for the 2016 season. So, again, I want to get your guys' thoughts about that. Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle Busch Motorsports, like Roush Fenway Racing that we were talking about earlier, they've also have a really good habit of picking out really talented drivers. Christopher Bell, I think we all kind of saw it was going to head in that direction after the success he's had with the team this year. And William Byron's really the surprise acquisition here. You know, he was really with H. Scott Motorsports for Justin Marks in the K&N Pro Series East, and he was also a driver for Junior Motorsports in the late models. So to see him suddenly, get swooped up by Kyle Busch Motorsports is a big surprise. And the kid's got a lot of talent. He absolutely dominated this K&N Pro Series East this year. So I expect big things out of Bell and Byron and Cody Coughlin and Daniel Suarez. I do expect big things out of their effort as well. Cody had two starts in the Truck Series this year, one with KBM and one with Venturini Motorsports. Didn't quite get the finishes he was looking for, but he is a talented driver, as he's shown in the ARCA Racing Series and in the ARCA CRA Super Series. And we all certainly know what Daniel Suarez can do in a truck.
Okay. Brian?
I think I've been kind of saying this all along with Kyle Busch Motorsports and everything that Kyle Busch has done for the Truck Series. You know, you hear a lot of fan outrage and complaints, with all the races that he's come down there and won, but he's also been building quite the team to bring up talent. And, we see it again. We saw it with Eric Jones this season. We're going to see it with Christopher Bell, William Byron, and Cody Coughlin next season. And kind of an interesting thing I found from the announcement, they announced the three trucks, the truck that's going to have split seat time with Coughlin and Suarez. They said each of those guys is expected to run 10 races. So that's only going to leave, they haven't announced the truck schedule yet, but, potentially 2 to 3 open races there. So it sounds like maybe Kyle Busch doesn't come down and run any truck races, or they run a fourth truck maybe if he runs any of those events next year. But, he's built quite the powerhouse team for young talent at the truck level, and I think that's that's fantastic what he's done. And I think both drivers, or all four drivers really, have the ability to go out and win next season. Bell already won earlier this year at Eldora, finished top five at Iowa, and I think the wild card for Bell, or kind of the question mark, was how he do on the super speedways, the restrictor plate tracks, and he ran really well last weekend before the late tandem draft penalty. So I think that big things to expect from all those guys next year in top equipment. I think the bar will be set pretty high for them, and will remain to be seen if they can they can achieve it.
Absolutely, and I thought it was really great news, the announcement today. I'm happy for all four of those guys. Now, Daniel Suarez, like I mentioned earlier, he is racing this race this weekend, and we've been saying he's been knocking on the door. What do you think of his of a win? What do you think are his chances of getting a win at Martinsville this weekend? Kyle, we'll start with you again.
Well, considering he is in the Kyle Busch Motorsports truck, you always have to consider his chances to be high. But when you look at the chance with the drivers in the field this weekend, there's a lot of talented drivers that seem slightly have an advantage over him. Cole Custer has been red hot on the short tracks of the circuit. We've also got Tyler Reddick, Eric Jones, Matt Crafton, our three title contenders. They've been, you know, red hot at every single track we've been to. But certainly Daniel is a name to be considered. However, I wouldn't put him at the top of my list.
Okay. And we will get to that because we'll continue our conversation after our interview here in just a few minutes. But joining us shortly is going to be Timothy Peters with Red Horse Racing. He's not here just yet, but we expect him any minute. He had a really great race at Talladega Super Speedway. He won back-to-back there, having won last year's race at that track. And I think it's going to be really great to see what he does this weekend at Martinsville, because this is his home track, a track that I think he probably looks forward to racing every season. So let's get your thoughts there. Kyle?
Yeah. To go from winning your first race of the season and in such, you know, a strong fashion to racing in front of your hometown, it's almost like taking the victory lap. So I'm sure, you know, Timothy's going to be basking in front of the hometown, just soaking up all the reception. Plus, he's been on a complete hot streak as of late. So it'll be interesting to see if he can carry the momentum into Martinsville and out of Martinsville, and I fully expect him to.
Okay. And Brian?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're talking about favorites to win this weekend, and I definitely would kind of put Peters up at the top of that list, just the way that team's been running lately. They, you know, they kind of struggled out of the gate to start this season with three DNS in the first seven races, but, you know, they've come on really strong in the last several. They've cracked the top five in the championship points, and I think that, you know, they're definitely ending the season on a strong note.
Absolutely, you know, you said, it's almost like taking a victory lap for Timothy Peters after having won at Talladega and a back-to-back win at that as well. So three of his nine career victories have come at Talladega. Two of those victories were at Daytona, so he does really well on the super speedways. He is a native of Danville, Virginia, and heading into Martinsville this weekend in the Kroger 200, it was the site of his very first career victory. In 19 starts at the short track, he has one win, six top fives, and 12 top tens. That's not bad for your home track. Okay, Kyle? Okay, with that, I'll tell you what, he just showed up, so let's go ahead and introduce our next guest. He is the winner of the Super Speedway race at Talladega last weekend in the Camping World Truck Series. And I tell you what, we've been talking about it the last few weeks, about how strong Red Horse Racing has had in this last part of the season. And now they're going to Timothy Peters' home track, Martinsville Speedway, this weekend, and they have a chance to bring some of that momentum into his home track. It is my pleasure to introduce right now Timothy Peters. Timothy, congratulations to you, and thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you. Sorry for being a tad late there. we had a great weekend at Talladega, and to be able to sail in the pole and go to Victory Lane was even special.
Well, I bet it was. That was a back-to-back win for you at Talladega Super Speedway. Just talk about what that means for you and your team to be able to make that a back-to-back win and to add that to the two victories that you have at Daytona as well. You guys seem to have figured something out on the super speedways in a truck that's not usually considered to be aerodynamically suited for super speedways.
Well, our company, Red Horse Racing, did a really good job repairing the truck that we raced this weekend from the qualifying incident at Daytona. We had a really good truck, Speed Weeks, but wasn't able to race it. But, you know, it's just a testament to the guys of how hard they worked. Being able to go to Talladega and sit on the pole is a big accomplishment. It's bragging rights because it's raw speed. And, you know, to get that pole was huge. And then to back it up with a win was even bigger. So very special with our Toyota Tundra. It was fast from the time that we unloaded. And having Ashley Richmond riding with us the whole weekend and being able to sweep the week, if you will, was very touching to everybody's hearts. And, you know, being able to go back-to-back, to be only the third person to win it consecutive years, and to join Todd Bodine and Kyle Busch, that's pretty special to me as well. So I love super speedway racing. We had a great three races leading into Talladega. So it's a great start to the 5 weeks to end the season and a lot of great momentum headed into Martinsville Saturday.
It really was. And I wanted to just introduce as well the rest of our panel that's here. We have Kyle Pokrefsky, who is here as our guest panel member. He's from the Fourth Turn website. And then also we have one of our Fan for Racing writers, also writing for Motor Racing Digest, Brian Eberle. So I'm going to go around the table and give them a chance to ask a couple questions as well, starting with Kyle.
Hey, Timothy, congratulations on your Talladega win. So,
Thank you.
Guys are coming off of four straight top four finishes. Is there something that's been started quick with the team these last several weekends?
You know, it's just, my owner says it best, all the pieces of the puzzle are coming together. You know, it started back at Chicago. We did really well, the Chicago Loudon Vegas stretch. With taking the 2 weeks off headed into Talladega, you can just really see a difference. It isn't that we haven't been trying. You know, I give my guys A for effort. It's just part of racing. And when it comes together and you get momentum on your side and everything just starts clicking and working, a team is hard to beat. And the best part about it is that we're that team right now. So just hope we keep it going. It's very no, we're very fortunate to be on this hot streak right now, and what better place to keep that going than to my hometown track this weekend.
Okay, Kyle, any other questions?
So there's been a lot of talk out this past weekend over NASCAR's changes to the green-white checkered rule. As a driver, what is your position on the new rule?
Well, that was just for Talladega. It goes back into you know, the three attempts this weekend at Martinsville and for the rest of the year. You just try to you applaud them for making a change, just to try to keep everything under control as far as safety goes. So you have to applaud them for that. You know, I'm a fan of it. The only thing is that everybody just tries to get everything they get when they know that that was the final attempt. And I think it was really good racing.
Okay, Brian?
Hey, Timothy. Welcome to the show, and congrats on the victory at Talladega. You won at Martinsville in 2009 in the Truck Series, kind of being that being your home track. Does that rank as one of the most special wins for you? And where do you have that grandfather clock at today?
Well, thanks for having me on in Talladega. Definitely was a great weekend. Being able to get my first win at Martinsville was very special to me. Being able to check that win column in one of the three national series was pretty special, of how hard that my family and I and everybody that believed in me as far as driving to get me to this point. So it was very rewarding to do that, especially at home. I was the last driver, unfortunately, to win the Cup trophy. I didn't get that grandfather clock. Actually, the spring race of 2010 is when they started giving the grandfather clock. So looking forward to trying to get that Saturday. And I got plenty of room inside my house that I'll make it fit, regardless if we're able to win that bad boy.
Right. So, yeah, a win this weekend will be even more special then, since you don't have that clock sitting there for you yet, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Any time that you figure out where to put the hardware at from a win is very special, and you'll do whatever it takes.
And if I recall correctly, you had a special name above your truck last weekend at Talladega. Can you just talk a little bit about that and kind of what that meant to you and the team?
It was very special weekend for us. My crew chief's sister, Marcus Richmond, his sister, Ashley Richmond, battling a horrible fight with cancer. And we just wanted to know how much she's loved personally and professionally, inside and out the racing community. And what a way to go down there and be able to do what we did, setting on the pole and leading almost 30 laps of the race and taking the checkered flag. We know how special she was and special she is to us. On a sad note, she lost her battle yesterday. So the good Lord gained an angel yesterday, and, our hearts are heavy. Selfishly for us, we still wish that she was here, but we know that she's in a better place and isn't suffering anymore. So hopefully we can hit the racetrack tomorrow and our Tundra will be fast, and we can do it all over again this weekend for her.
Right. Yeah. That was very, very, very well said about her, and our condolences to her and all of her family in the racing community.
Thank you very much.
And, certainly our condolences to the racing community, to your team, because I know that that's, you have some connections there that are very strong. And, our prayers go to the families. Timothy, and talking about family, you come from Danville, Virginia. At Martinsville, you're going to be racing in front of a lot of family and friends. But you have a lot of members on your team that are also from the Virginia area. Do you want to give them a shout-out now, or you kind of mention that a little bit?
Oh, sure. Myself just being from Virginia, but, it's I got a lot of people that are close by. For sure, racing in front of your family and friends, I put a lot of extra pressure on myself. Marcus Richmond is basically one of the guys that isn't from Danville, but, you might as well say he is because it's so close over in Carolina. Mm-hmm. And we grew up together, graduated high school. So he's basically, as far as hometown boy, along with me, we're the only two. So, but we're definitely, when we come in, for sure, it feels like everybody's from Virginia because, I feel like, as far as one of the favorites, we're one of them, and everybody considers us the hometown team. So we look forward to trying to get there and do the best that we can. Hopefully we get that victory and make all our family and friends proud.
Absolutely. And I know the gas man, Dan Mrack, I hope I pronounced it correctly, he's originally from Woodbridge, Your engine tuner, Drew Barber, called Salem his hometown. Jonathan Branzelli, he's the engineer for the number 11 local motors team. He hails from Sutherland, Virginia. And, of course, your crew chief, you mentioned him. He's just over the border in North Carolina, in Leesburg, North Carolina. So it's got to have some special meaning for you to be able to be at your home track coming off the win at Talladega and with so many, not just your personal family and friends that are going to be there at the track to watch the race, but the others. And you mentioned it kind of adds a little bit of extra pressure to you. But you have a good record at Martinsville. We mentioned it just a few minutes ago. You have in 19 starts, you've got the one win, 6 top fives, and 12 top tens. So obviously it's a track that you do pretty well at.
Oh, for sure. I love that place from the day that I walked across the track to race my late model there. In 97, it's just, I took to the place, the place took to my driving style, if you will. So I've had a lot of success there, being able to win the big late model race there, being able to get my first NASCAR Camping World Truck Series win there. It's home. You ask any driver, and this weekend in a truck garage or the cup garage, where would you like to win at? And the first thing they tell you is to win at home. So it feels so good just because family and friends are there. And, it's just something that everybody wants to do. So hopefully we can back that up Saturday and get that grandfather clock for the first time.
Yeah, well, we'll be cheering for you for that. Who do you see as your toughest competition this weekend?
Well, I mean, really – everybody, because we didn't do so well in the spring, so we're looking for a little bit of redemption this weekend. But the 88 and the 98 trucks are always pretty tough to beat here. The KVM trucks are always tough to beat. So hopefully we can jump up there in that mix and know that the Red Horse team, the Red Horse trucks are going to be tough to beat. So we just have to wait and see. We never want to lose. We want to win every race, and that's our purpose when we leave the racetrack, is to go win the race. So when you have a bad weekend like we did in the spring, your determination goes even higher to better that and get that win. So hopefully when we hit the racetrack for the first time tomorrow afternoon for practice, our Toyota Tundra, autosbynelson.com Toyota Tundra will be fast.
Okay, we'll go around the table for one more question, and then we'll let you go here. Kyle?
So there's been a lot of talk among some writers as to what the perfect Camping World Truck Series schedule would look like. What would you think that schedule would look like?
I think it's going to get there, but, it was at 25 races. And then it went to 22, and now we're back to 23. So, you hear rumors that it could possibly be a track at it for next year, which would put us back at 24. So we'd just like to see you race more, Right now our schedule is heavily loaded on the backside and very light with races on the front side. So we understand that for sure. But when you race the first race of the year and you don't run again, for a month as a race car driver, you want to be racing every weekend. So just looking forward to hopefully getting more races back on the schedule would be what I would raise my hand for.
And Brian?
I guess maybe to even expand upon that question a little bit more, if you were able to pick another track to race at, what would be your top choice? Do you have one?
Yeah, I have a couple. It was funny. That question was asked to me on social media earlier this week when we took over the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Twitter page. And And, you know, I would like for us to see, to go back to Richmond, and then obviously South Boston Speedway. I'm a short track guy, and, you know, that's, there's the two tracks that the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series went to several years ago, so it would be nice to see them go back.
Yeah, South Boston would be great.
It would, wouldn't it? I would love that. Okay, now let's talk about, you do have an autograph session that's coming up tomorrow at 4:45 in front of the ticket office of Martinsville Speedway. You and Ben Kennedy will both be there for that autograph session. Is that right?
That's right. That's correct. So invite anyone to come on out and check us out. It should be beautiful weather tomorrow.
Okay. And then before that, you have a couple of practice sessions at 1 and at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That will be broadcast on Fox Sports 1 tomorrow. Qualifying will be Saturday morning at 10 a.m., also on Fox Sports 1. So fans will definitely want to tune in for that. Now, before you leave, Timothy, I want to make sure fans know how they can follow you and kind of keep up with what's going on in the off season. I know you guys have, you know, just a few more races left here before the season ends, and I want to make sure fans stay in tune.
For sure. You know, you can check out the Red Horse Racing team at Red Horse Racing, and you can check me out at Timothy Peters 17. So through Twitter, that is.
Okay. Definitely give Timothy Peters a follow. And we wish you the best this weekend at Martinsville and for the remainder of this season. And we look forward. We hope to see you back at the track in the 2016 season as well, Timothy.
Yes, ma'am. We do as well. So it's always, always a pleasure, and thanks for having me on.
Well, we always look forward to chatting with you, and we hope to tap you on the shoulder somewhere down the road here again. So we wish you the best.
Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Thanks, Timothy.
All right. That was Timothy Peters with Red Horse Racing. And, you know, it's kind of a difficult time for him. I did not know. Did you guys know that Ashley had passed away?
I definitely did not, no. I did not.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise to me to hear that. So I'm thankful that he was able to still come on the show and everything because I'm sure it was with a heavy heart that he was here. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers certainly go out to Marcus Richmond and his family on that sad note. So. But it sounds like they have a lot of reasons to really, they're looking for redemption this weekend at Martinsville, having not run as well as they felt they should have their last outing, and coming off that win at Talladega, I know he's going to want to have a good race this weekend. So
definitely.
We wish him the best. Okay. Now then, let's talk about who you think will win this weekend at Martinsville Speedway. There's a lot of NASCAR Next drivers. We've referenced several of them. They do well at these tracks. Daniel Suarez is going to be in the race. Kyle, Eric Jones is leading the points. Who's your pick for Martinsville Speedway this weekend?
Well, you are certainly right. Eric Jones is leading the points, and I think after this weekend, he's going to stretch out that points lead a little bit more, as I have him as my winner of the Kroger 200. He ran really well here in the spring, finished third, and, you know, as I mentioned in the show earlier in the week, Tyler Reddick, Eric Jones, Matt Crafton, they've all been up there, you know, throughout the entire season, and they've been the three that have been fighting for the most wins of the series regulars. And this week, I see Eric Jones, you know, he's an absolutely great short track racer. He is the winner of this year's Winchester 400. And I see him translating that over to Martinsville Speedway and to the Kyle Busch Motorsports number 4 truck.
Okay, good pick. Brian, your thoughts? your drivers to watch this weekend in your race pick?
I'm going to go with the pick that maybe I'll convince some more drivers to come on this show on Thursday night. It's a little bit of a good luck charm. I'm gonna go with Timothy Peters this weekend. I think that team's been on such a roll. I think so much of racing can be about momentum and getting hot at the right time. And, you know, he's been strong at Martinsville in the past. And I think this might be the weekend that he actually gets himself that coveted grandfather clock.
Okay, I think that's a good pick. I really do. I do think he has momentum coming off of Talladega. I think you're right. He misses not having that grandfather's clock, having been the last driver to win at that track and not get a grandfather's clock. So I really do think that it's going to be a good track for him to maybe come out with a win. Martinsville is a tough track, and it's going to be interesting. But I think his teammate might be in there too, scrambling for that win. I know he mentioned here they're looking for some redemption after that spring race. And I think that is extra motivation. So I'm going to go with you, Brian. I usually try to pick somebody different to win the race, but I'm going to say maybe Timothy Peters as well. Another driver that I want to just kind of point out, we haven't talked a lot about him tonight, is Spencer Gallagher. Spencer kind of has run into a little bit of bad luck. I think he's also looking for some redemption. He's going into Martinsville this weekend, and guess where his home track is?
I'm going to guess Martinsville.
Nope, Texas.
Oh.
So if he wins at Martinsville, he'll take some of that momentum with him into Texas. And Spencer Gallagher is also our guest on Monday night show at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So, I wouldn't be unhappy if Spencer Gallagher comes away with a victory from that race as well.
Yeah, I expect that to be a good time on Monday night. He's always a good laugh and has something funny to say. So definitely one of the more entertaining personalities around the garage area. So that'll be good if everyone wants to tune in on Monday night and give him a listen.
Okay. With that, I want to go ahead and move on to our Sprint Cup Series, the seventh race of the chase. And I can't believe we're already at the seventh race of the chase this season. It's really winding down. After Martinsville, we're talking three more races to the championship. A lot of people are talking Martinsville is a payback track. That could wreak some havoc this weekend, and I wanted to get your guys' thoughts about that. Is Martinsville the track where we might see payback this weekend? Kyle, let's start with you.
Yeah, Martinsville definitely is a track where we will see payback because it's a half-mile paperclip. There's no real room for separation at this track. You're basically near another car at all times, and with that, you'll see a couple drivers, intentionally and unintentionally, be giving each other bumps throughout the entire weekend. And I think that could apply to some of the drivers that have had beef with each other over the past several weeks.
There certainly are, Brian. Your thoughts about payback at Martinsville Speedway?
It definitely is probably one of the more likely tracks to have it done at. I don't necessarily know that I see anyone just going out there and blatantly taking another guy out, but I can guarantee you that if, you know, guys like Kenseth and Logano are side-by-side late in the race, or Kenseth has the opportunity to do the same thing to Logano that Logano did to him, a couple weeks prior, I definitely could see something like that happening. There'll definitely be a lot of beating and banging, and I think there's a lot of guys that are frustrated with each other that, you know, not that they're going to go out and intentionally wreck someone, but they're not going to give an inch on the track to guys that they've had a beef with so far this season. So it'll be great to watch, and I'm sure, you know, at least a couple of these guys that have had issues will be side by side at some point in the late stages on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and one of those guys you mentioned, the Logano Kenseth beef, a lot of people think that Kenseth is going to look for an opportunity. And we could see something there. But another driver that a lot of people are wondering, a lot of people think that Harvick maybe slid by, if you will, with what happened at Talladega. And do you see any drivers looking for some payback there?
Yeah,
Kyle?
I was thinking about it earlier today. And personally, I know some drivers following Talladega were mad with Kevin. You know, they accused him of blatantly causing that last crash on the green-white checkered so he could transfer into the chase. But, you know, I put some thought into it earlier today, and I actually don't see anybody really roughing him up over it. Then, you know, NASCAR, they ruled that they're not going to take any action against him, and you know, as I mentioned earlier in the week, despite what we may or may not think happened,
right,
the only person who will really know if he did it on purpose or not is Kevin Harvick. So there's no real smoking gun, in a sense.
Oh, okay.
And with that, I just don't see anybody, you know, really getting into it with Harvick this weekend. I do think Kenseth will lightly rough up Joey Logano. I don't think he'll flat out dump him. I do think he'll rough him up. But I think that's really the extent as to what we're going to see this weekend. Because
okay,
it's going to be kind of like what goes around comes around, you know?
Okay. Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of along the same thought lines as Kyle. I don't know, other than, you know, perhaps Trevor Bayne, who I could see having a legit beef with Harvick, given that Harvick just basically wrecked him at the end of the race. You know, but I also think sometimes cooler heads prevail. You know, you got a week to kind of cool off about
cool
it. You're not necessarily going to go out there and take somebody out on the first lap. But, you know, kind of like I said earlier, like I think that, you know, if these guys, some of these guys that have had these issues are racing side by side, they're definitely not going to cut anybody any slack. And we'll definitely see, I think, some beating and banging.
Okay. Now, a lot of people have also brought up the Bowyer-Gordon beats from last season, or maybe that was a couple of seasons ago. It seems like it was now. But do you see Bowyer maybe trying to take out Gordon at this point? We talked a little bit about that on Monday. Kyle?
Yeah, I think that incident, I think that may have been 2011 or 2012. I think that incident's so far in the past that really, you know, both drivers, they may not have smoothed everything out, but, all this time later, I don't think it's at the point where either of them really care, so to speak.
Yep. Okay, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I'm along the same lines, you know, like, you've always got drivers out there that maybe don't care for one another, but to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go get this guy from an incident that happened, you know, a long time ago. I don't think we'll really see any of that, but I definitely think we can maybe see some new rivalries or some new drivers heated at each other that we haven't seen yet after Martinsville is over, because I'm sure we're going to have at least one of the eight guys in the chase have some sort of problem or issue at some point, and I think it'll be definitely an interesting race to watch on Sunday.
Absolutely. Now, Martinsville could be a track where we could see some spoilers, some non-chase driver come up with the win. Any of your thoughts about that? Who are the spoilers for Martinsville? Kyle?
Yeah, I take a look at drivers over the last 10 races at Martinsville. And in terms of average finish, the guy at the top is Jeff Gordon. And as we know, he's in the eliminator round currently. But from second through sixth, in terms of average finish, are non-chase drivers: Matt Kenseth, Denny Hamlin, Jimmy Johnson, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and Clint Bowyer. Now, Martinsville has been Hendrick's playground over the last several years, actually almost pretty much over a decade. But this season, Joe Gibbs Racing, they've been the cream of the crop. So If I take a look at anybody who could play spoiler of the non-chasers, it'd be either Kenseth, Hamlin, Johnson, or Earnhardt Jr.
Okay, Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah, The spoiler conversation is definitely, I think, a great topic at Martinsville. You know, even if you look at it from the driver rating standpoint, the top five guys in driver rating are Johnson, Gordon, Hamlin, Dale Jr., and Stewart. And while Stewart definitely isn't having a season like he has in the past, and I don't really expect him to be a factor, you look at, you know, Earnhardt Jr., Hamlin, and obviously Jimmy Johnson as definitely three guys that could go out there and win. And while Hendrick maybe has been a little bit more behind eight ball than we're used to seeing them, I mean, Denny Hamlin is probably my guy, I think, could be the biggest pick to maybe go out there and play spoiler. But we've got several guys now, especially as we've whittled the field down. But, you know, these guys that got knocked out last week, all four of them, I think, are potentials to go out there and win at some point during these remaining races. So it'll be definitely another interesting storyline to watch, as, you know, I don't think we'll see anyone like pull a Joey Logano and sweep all three races in this next round, that's for sure.
Yeah, I would definitely agree there. I think it's going to be a long time before we see anybody else do what Joey Logano did in that contender round. And I agree also, this is going to be the track where I think we can see a spoiler, and there are a lot of opportunities. I just want to also mention there are several chasers who've never had a win at Martinsville this weekend. Of these guys, do you see any of these guys maybe having a breakthrough win this weekend? Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Carl Edwards, or Martin Truex Jr.? That's five of the eight that have never won there before.
Personally, I don't see it. I really don't see Team Penske getting a win, as the last time Ford has won at Martinsville was actually in 2002 with, I believe, Kurt Busch. So when you talk about cold streaks in the sport, that's, you know, about as cold as you can get at a given track. And Kyle Busch and Carl Edwards at Martinsville, I'm not really a big fan of their records as a track. I do look at their teammates, Kenseth and Hamlin, as guys to look at. And Martin Truex Jr., I wouldn't really put him on my short list for winners. You know, his team has been clicking off plenty of strong efforts this year, really strong, consistent finishes. Not towards the top all the time, although he does have that win at Pocono. I just expect a consistent finish out of him this Sunday.
Okay, and Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah, if I had to pick one of those drivers to have the best shot, my pick would be Kyle Busch. He is, out of the guys in the field, sixth overall in driver rating, and in his 20 races there, he has led 487 laps. So, I mean, I think he's the most likely out of those five drivers to potentially go to victory lane, but I still think you got to, even though Hendrick's been a little bit behind, maybe this season, especially as of late, Johnson and Gordon are still, I think, the two guys that you're going to have to beat on Sunday.
You're going to have to get through them to get to that win. Now, you mentioned, let's talk about Kevin Harvick and Kurt Busch. I know one of you picked Kurt Busch to be one of your final four guys. He's had a pretty good run here in the chase. And Harvick and Busch are probably the only team that started the chase that are still in the chase. You look at HMS, they've lost some drivers that are no longer in the chase that started the chase. Same with Joe Gibbs Racing. I guess Team Penske still has their two drivers. How do you see the strength of Stewart Haas Racing going forward? Kyle?
Well, Stewart Haas Racing, they're pretty much leading the pack for Chevrolet right now. And really, they haven't lost any of their strength at all. You know, even though Kevin Harvick's had some shaky results throughout the chase, and Kurt Busch, although he hasn't been winning, he's been up there. I do expect the strength to continue from them. I'm not sure if one or the both of them will get into Homestead. I do expect them to have a great eliminator round, and I do expect they have to start at Martinsville, where I was going to bring it up later, but my pick for the weekend is Kurt Busch.
Okay. And Brian?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about kind of success or past success at the remaining tracks, they've got Kurt and Jeff Gordon are the only two guys that have visited victory lane at all four of the tracks remaining on the schedule this season, and you know, you can pretty much pencil Harvick in for a victory at Phoenix, where he's won, I believe, the last four races there. So I think that both of these cars are still strong, and like Kyle said, they are kind of leading the pack for Chevrolet right now.
Okay. And you mentioned Gordon. By the way, this would be his ninth Martinsville clock if he wins this weekend, which is pretty amazing. So just something to point out there. And we've already talked about Joey Logano. Who's your pick, Brian? I know Kyle said his pick is Kurt Busch.
You know, I think I'm gonna go with a guy that dominates there. I think it's going to be Jimmy Johnson again.
And I'm going to say Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin is really strong at that track. He won there the last time out, and I think he could be a spoiler this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I can argue with any of those picks. A valid argument can be made for any of those guys going to victory lane this weekend.
So we'll have to wait and see what happens. Go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, it's funny you guys are talking about Hamlin and Johnson, because I was just, before I made my pick, I was going through a history of who won at the track, and there was, you know, in the late 2000s, there was a streak of 9 straight Martinsville races where the winner was either Jimmy Johnson or Denny Hamlin. So in terms of picks, you guys, you know, you guys got some absolutely phenomenal picks for this weekend.
Well, thank you, Kyle. I think your pick, you've got a good pick there too. So fans again will want to definitely tune in for the Goodies Headache Relief 500 at Martinsville Speedway Sunday, November the 1st. Coverage starts at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. NBCSN again is the place to go on your television dial. 1:15. Should be the green flag, 263 miles, 500 laps. So I think it's going to be an exciting race. I think this chase has been nothing but surprises. I think we'll continue to see more surprises this weekend in what will happen at the track. And I think it's going to be fun to watch. So with that, I was hoping Chris maybe would have called in by now. We've not heard from him yet. Let's talk about Trevor Bayne. He did make some crew chief changes after the race last weekend. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. He's been a mainstay changer at Roush Fenway Racing. It seems like Kansas is probably going to be his last time that he changes tires for a while. He had a partial hip replacement surgery, and he's going to be out for a while. So Cale Uphoff is who I'm talking about. So it looks like Corey Baldwin will be moving in for the number 6, and he'll be backing up the front tire changer, Corey DeMarco, who is going to be moving up to take Baldwin's spot. So let's see here if I got this straight. Let's see. It looks like the front tire changer, Corey Baldwin, will be moving to the rear of the number 6, and back up the front tire changer, Corey DeMarco, will be moving up front to take Baldwin's spot. So they're making those changes as a result of the hip surgery for Cale Uphoff. So that's just something to be aware of for Trevor Bayne's team this weekend. Let me ask you guys this. Is there any other news that you want to make sure we talk about before we move to the end of the show here?
Yeah, big news on the Xfinity front. We have Justin Allgaier headed the Xfinity Series and Junior Motorsports in 2016. To take over the number 7 car from Regan Smith.
Yeah, I think a lot of people kind of anticipated that coming, and now it's finally been made official. Let me get your guys' thoughts before I give you my thoughts. Good move for Justin Allgaier? or bad?
Yeah, I say it's a good move because, you know, he's headed to a competitive team, and it's a great move for junior motorsports as well because Justin Allgaier, he's a guy who can get it done at the Xfinity level. But I'm actually a little surprised that Justin went down to the Xfinity series. Now, I know guys, they'd like to remain – you take a look at his teammate for next year, Elliott Sadler, and he headed to the Xfinity series because he knew he could be competitive at that series. But, you know, I take a look at some of the rides that are supposedly open for 2016 at the Sprint Sub level, and, you know, in my little always-changing silly season chart, I actually had Justin Allgaier as a front-runner for the number 9 Richard Petty Motorsports car because he had sponsorship with him from Brandt. So it's a bit of a surprise, but, you know, he can't be disappointed with his team for next year.
Okay, Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, good point by Kyle. And, yeah, I think the one thing that Justin had going for him or has going for him is he's got a loyal sponsor in Brandt. You know, for those that don't know, Allgaier's from Riverton, Illinois, so I've always kind of followed him a little bit more, also being a fellow Illinoisan, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And Brandt is also a company headquartered in Southern Illinois, so they've always partnered well with Justin. I feel like he fits well with their brand and what they're about and worked really well with him. So I think they pretty much would have been willing to follow him anywhere. That being said, you know, Justin could have stuck around in the Cup Series, but he hasn't had much success there. I mean, only one top 10 in 71 starts. I think maybe another little bit of an issue of a guy that maybe moved up a little bit quicker. I mean, he does have 170 plus starts in the Xfinity series, so he has been around there a while, but he did have 3 wins while he was down there. And I think going to junior motorsports, arguably, you know, one of the top teams in the Xfinity series, I think is a great move for him. He'll get a chance to, you know, work alongside a veteran in Elliott Sadler, as well as they'll have the third car that they've kind of dubbed the all-star car that, you know, Kevin Harvick and I think Chase Elliott and Dale Jr. himself will pilot. So I think that's a great team and a great situation for him. To me, I think better than maybe what would have been available at the Cup level at this point. And, you know, if he spends a year or two down there, something might open up for him back at the Cup level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you bring up, really great points. Both you and Kyle, Brandt has been a very strong sponsor for Justin Allgaier, and I do think that, there could have been another opportunity for him in the Sprint Cup Series to the point that Kyle made, but at the same time, I see him being a championship contender in the Xfinity Series, where I'm not so sure I would have seen him as a championship contender in the Sprint Cup Series. Excuse me. So from that perspective, I do think that it's a really good move for Justin Allgaier to take that step back. As much as I would like him to be successful in the Sprint Cup Series, I think it's an excellent move going with Junior Motorsports, a team that he knows he can really contend for championships. I apologize. I've got a little tickle here. let's go ahead and go to you, Brian. Any other news that you want to make sure we talk about?
You know, Allgaier was, I think, the big one. I think we'll continue to see more silly season announcements kind of come out and trickle out, especially in the next few weeks. I think, there's a lot of announcements waiting to come to see who's going to fall into place at some of these teams, what guys are going to move up, what guys are going to be kind of without a ride, looking for a ride. So I think there'll be a lot to watch for. And, hopefully we can get Chris on again on Monday because he's always got more of an inside element to a lot of that going on than any of us do. So I'm always interested to hear his thoughts and what's been moving around. And, you know, as he mentioned on Monday's show, there would be some big announcements coming out today, and there definitely were with the Kyle Busch news. So it'll be interesting to get his take again on Monday night when he's back on. But, yeah, I think we pretty much covered kind of the big news out there for now, and we'll see what else is to come here in the coming weeks.
Okay. Yeah, it is going to be interesting. we talked a little bit about the penalties already. What about Monster Energy going to with Kurt Busch? Let's talk about your thoughts there.
I'll just say that I absolutely love Monster Energy's paint schemes, where it's got the, you know, the matte black color, and it's a great logo. But it's really nice to see Monster Energy move up the Sprint Cup Series, and because, you know, if you take a look at Kurt Busch's fire suit and his helmet over the last several years, and even, you know, on his car, he's had some representation for Monster Energy on there. And, you know, he's won with the team before at the Xfinity Series level. So it's nice to see them move up. But, you know, it starts leaving a couple of questions. And hopefully if Chris is on the show next Monday, he can let everybody know what's going on at the Xfinity Series level with Joe Gibbs Racing. Because I hear there's some question marks about sponsorship for the 54 team, or what will be the 54 team next year.
Okay, so that'll be interesting to hear as well. Also, I'm reading here. I want to get your thoughts before we move on, Brian, about Monster Energy and the 41.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kyle touched on it there with saying that, you know, it kind of sucks that they're losing a sponsor at the Xfinity Series level. But at the same time, it's also great to see partners and sponsors kind of move up and take a bigger role within the sport. And, you know, that Monster Energy paint scheme, I think, is badass. I think it's one of my more favorite ones out there, with the matte black and the green logo. And it's just a company that fits so well, you know, with NASCAR as part of their brand. So I think that they'll definitely be someone that'll be around for a while. And, you know, who knows, maybe they expand sponsorship back down to the Xfinity level as well, or, you know, continue to support some of the stuff down there. But it's definitely great to see partners continue to expand within NASCAR. We hear so much about, you know, sponsorship leaving and guys losing sponsorship. So it is great to kind of focus on these announcements when they come as well.
Okay, another one that I want to make sure we talk about. Brian Patti is going to be replacing Matt Puccia as Biffle's crew chief in the 2016 season. As we know, Michael Waltrip Racing is closing the doors at the end of the season, so Brian Patti's name was certainly out on the market, and he's been picked up by Roush Fenway Racing. Your thoughts about that, Kyle?
Yeah, and the thing is, Greg Biffle and Matt Puccia, they've had a great relationship going, even, you know, with the performance woes of the Roush Fenway organization. But Brian Patti, he is a great pickup for the team. He has done a lot of great stuff with Michael Waltrip Racing and with Clint Bowyer. And it's a great pickup for, as I mentioned, it's a great pickup for the team. But, the thing is, Biffle and Puccia, they did have a good thing going. So, but, you know, sometimes these shakeups are necessary to kickstart a team. As I mentioned earlier in the show, I think Roush Fenway, their resurgence it's on the way, especially with that low downforce package. So that and a crew chief change for the 16, hopefully good things are on the horizon for that team, because, you know, they've been way overdue for them.
Okay, and Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of don't have anything else to elaborate on other than Kyle said. I think he covered that one pretty well. I do have another Truck Series announcement that kind of came out today. AM Racing announced that they're forming a team. They're led by Tim Self, who is the father of Austin Wayne Self, who's obviously been an ARCA Series driver this year. They will field the number 22 Toyota next year for the full 2016 campaign. They did not announce a driver yet. I would assume that it's going to be Austin Wayne Self, given that his dad formed the team. His sponsor has been AM Technical Solutions, which his father, Tim Self, owns. So they said they'll be making driver and sponsorship announcements in the very near future, but I would assume that that's going to be Austin behind the wheel of that ride, but I guess that's a little bit of a wait and see for the official announcement.
Absolutely.
I don't know what's the worst. I don't know what's the worst kept secret. It's going to be Austin Wayne Self and AM Technical Solutions in that truck, or Esteban Gutierrez going to Haas F1 tomorrow.
Okay. So some big news on the horizon here. Austin Wayne Self, getting back to him, he actually finished second in the ARCA Racing Series championship points this season. He had a really good season with Mason Mitchell Motorsports. A lot of you will remember that Mason Mitchell won the championship last season. They were going after that championship this season with Austin Wayne Self behind the wheel. And I think a second-place showing for him was really, really good, and I think he certainly turned some heads this season in that ARCA Racing Series and being able, you know, I know it's not official yet, but to see him in the Camping World Truck Series I think is going to be a really, really big thing.
Yeah, he did it really well this year, finishing second, although, you know, there was no stopping Grant Enfinger this year in the ARCA Racing Series.
That's true.
But, yeah, the short tracks were Austin's bread and butter this year, even though Kyle Weatherman won the Eclipso Short Track Challenge. He, Austin ran really well, and especially, you know, he has a big, his family, they're based in Indiana. So on the short tracks down there, like Lucas Oil, Salem, and Winchester, he really performed well in front of them. And, you know, the camp, sorry, oh, I was about to say Craftsman Truck Series. Whoa. Anyways, Camping World Truck Series, it's not a short track series like it used to be, but it'll be interesting to see what he's able to do once they finally confirm it. Although, you know, Fox Sports 1, during their ARCA broadcast at Kansas, they kind of let the bag, they kind of let the cat out of the bag on that one.
Okay. Brian.
Sorry, what do you want me to talk about? I guess I missed that one.
Yeah, I didn't know if you had anything you wanted to add to that. We were talking about
no,
Wayne,
I mean,
Self and the season
he had
in ARCA.
I think it's great the season he had. I think it's great that we're going to get another truck team within the series. That's always good. You know, I'm sure some people make the argument of, oh, well, it's, you know, again, all about who has sponsorships, and, you know, he's got his dad's money to fund and do this opportunity, but, you know, it is what
it is.
And you see that happen. You know, you see that happen anywhere in the business world, in any company. So, you know, it is what it is, and it, you know, he'll have to prove himself out there on the track, and we'll see if he does that next year in 2016.
Yeah, absolutely.
Personally, what I'm curious about is, I know he's going to run a Toyota, but I'm kind of trying to figure out if he's going to have a technical alliance with anybody, because that could really, you know, if he doesn't, that could really sink a team.
Well,
right.
I'm sure that there will be.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I'm almost positive that there will be. So we'll have to kind of see. I'm guessing it's going to be Joe Gibbs Racing, just because Venturini has Venturini's worked close. Mason Mitchell, I'm trying to think, has he worked with any teams through the ARCA Racing Series? I don't know,
yeah.
But off the top of my head, it's not coming to me, but you might know, Kyle.
You mean with Mason Mitchell Motorsports?
Yeah. Who are they affiliated with?
I don't think they actually are affiliated with anybody. I know Mason, he made one start in the Camping World Truck Series last year at Homestead in the season finale after he wrapped up the title, and I think that wasn't his own equipment, and I don't think it was with any real technical alliance. And again, he was driving a Ford, and, you know, Ford's virtually DOA in the Camping World Truck Series, except for Brad Keselowski Racing. And the results kind of shows for it. Yeah, as we all know, as we've seen, you know, in 2014 and in this year in his partial schedule in ARCA, Mason's a really talented driver, but, you know, his speed in his cell phone truck at Homestead in 2014, it didn't really show for that, so that kind of indicates to me that he didn't really have a technical alliance going. And this year, they kind of split between Ford and Chevrolet, so we'll see if something comes about next year, because they are going to branch into the K&N East Pro Series, so maybe they'll establish a working relationship with the team by then.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have to kind of keep an eye on that and keep fans informed if we do see a technical alliance forming up there. Now, let me go around the table here. I want to make sure both of you have a chance to kind of talk about what you're working on this week and give your social media handles for fans to follow. So, Brian, let's start with you first on this one.
Yeah, definitely follow on Twitter, beeberly18 on Twitter. I will have an interview up later tomorrow night or first thing on Saturday morning at Motor Racing Digest with Bobby Pierce making his second Truck Series start, and it's first on asphalt, so we're scheduled to talk tomorrow afternoon when they get done with practice. And then I'll hopefully have a couple other things in the works for next week, and we'll see what comes out of Martinsville this weekend. I'm sure it'll give us plenty more to write about.
Absolutely. Kyle?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at K-Pokreski. That's K-P-O-K-R-E-S as in Frank, K-Y. And I'm kind of back in the swing of things at the4thturn.com. I mean, after Kentucky, you kind of, I don't know, it's like post-racing season disorder or something, because I didn't have any more races on my schedule, so I was kind of in a funk, and I'm like, you know, I'm just not going to do anything for a while. But, you know, kind of got bit by the bug again, even though I'm not going to be doing any races for the rest of the year. So I'm churning out a good amount of stuff over at the4thturn.com, and we are going to have some really, really cool stuff coming up in 2016. So keep an eye on our website. It's going to be a lot of fun following along next year.
Okay, well, definitely we're already starting to see some news come out about next season, and I'm sure that that is going to continue nonstop until the next season begins. So we are at fanforracing.com. I look forward to kind of writing the previews. We use the NASCAR.com previews as well as the race recaps, and we might have a couple of other articles that kind of pop up in there as well, so definitely keep your eye there. At Fan for Racing site on Twitter, and Fan for Racing blogging NASCAR news and views over on Facebook. You can also find us on Pinterest as well as Google+. So definitely keep your eye on the racing this weekend. There's going to be a lot of racing action. Again, we have Spencer Gallagher on our schedule for next Monday night show at 9 p.m. Eastern time. The show actually starts at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Brian, I know you're going to be there next Monday. Is that right?
Yep, that's the plan.
And Kyle, I don't know. I'll have to kind of keep you posted. As far as I know right now, our co-host Sal Segala will be there, but if anything changes, are you available to step in?
I think I am completely booked next week due to work.
Oh, okay. So it sounds like it's going to be a Brian week next week. Are you available Thursday, Brian?
I'm actually not on Thursday due to some work obligations at the office. So Monday night, definitely. Thursday night, unfortunately not.
Okay, so we'll keep you informed as far as what happens next Thursday night. Hopefully Chris is available, and we'll have to kind of check with him. But we will definitely be here on Monday night, November the 2nd, and Thursday hopefully we'll be available to preview all three series, the Camping World Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, as well as the Sprint Cup Series at Texas Motor Speedway. So big weekend coming up next weekend. Thanks to both Kyle and Brian. I really appreciate you guys being here. I think we had some really good discussion, and I look forward to a great weekend of racing. So thank you.
Great. Thanks. I appreciate it. Have a good one, guys.
Okay, you too.
Yeah, have a great weekend.
Thanks, Kyle. Take care now. And that's a wrap. We'll see you on the other side on Monday night. Take care, everybody.